The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
We will take some time to see, I think, a beautiful connection of this psalm to the moms in this room. But first and foremost, I want us to take some time for all of us to be able to consider the beauty of this psalm that is poured out of what is believed to be David's heart, and probably near the end of his life, he records this psalm. And there is a really remarkable thing that David does here that I think is important for all of us in every season of life, and particularly perhaps as we conclude, important for moms who are in this room as well. The psalm that David writes here is one you know well. We've sang it together even this morning. The words of this psalm we sang together just a few moments ago. But I'd love to read them over you before we get started. And you're more than welcome to follow along in your Bible as well. But sometimes there's a real beauty to be able to just take a deep breath and hear the word of the Lord read aloud together while we are worshiping together. And so I invite you, if you'd like, to close your eyes and just hear the word of the Lord as it is read aloud. This is Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Blessed the Lord, blessed be the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of the Lord. This psalm is likely familiar, and in the best of ways. It is opening and ending with the desire for the psalmist to bless the Lord. It begins with the psalmist preaching to his own soul to bless the Lord, to remind himself to sing of the Lord's blessed goodness and faithfulness and steadfast love. And it ends with him preaching and proclaiming to the angels and the host of heaven and blessing the work of God's own hands. The psalm is overwhelmingly focused on blessing the Lord. And I think it's important for us to acknowledge what the psalmist is doing here, because it's something that we all have to learn and experience in our own right as well. And that is, there are seasons of life, in fact, where it feels like internally that I don't have anything to bless. I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything to sing. I don't have anything to proclaim. Or perhaps more often, there is a temptation to feel like it shouldn't come from me. I know me. I know the worst about me. And the blessing here is important to understand and to watch how the psalmist navigates this desire. What does it mean to bless the Lord? What does it mean to proclaim blessing to the Lord? One author defined it this way. It means to speak well of and to proclaim his greatness and his goodness. It is almost synonymous with praise. Psalm 34 in verse 1 says this. It puts them together. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I think the word mouth there is important. His praise shall continually be in my mouth means that speaking or singing or proclaiming the goodness and greatness of the Lord is the means by which we bless the Lord. It's actually something to be spoken, something to be shared, something to be articulated and proclaimed. But there's also this inherent kind of warning, right? There's an inherent warning or exhortation, if you think about it, that blessing is proclaimed from the mouth, but the psalmist is actually appealing to his own soul, his inner being. And therefore, blessing must come from both soul and mouth, heart and lips. And David seems to recognize the at least potential danger of blessing the Lord with your mouth or your lips, but having your heart or your soul be far from him. Jesus would actually give a later word of caution in Matthew 15 where he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It's this posture of hypocrisy. And so David preaches to his own soul, come, soul, look at the greatness and goodness of God. Join my mouth and let us bless the Lord with our whole being. That's kind of David's prayer in the psalm. That his whole self would give blessing to the Lord. That everything would be aligned within him to recognize the goodness and greatness of God and then proclaim that aloud, which is a way to bless the Lord. And I think the truth is, if we peel back the layers, even in our own lives, we understand the psalmist's desire and subsequent warning very well, maybe all too well. We know the desire to bless the Lord and the personal wrestle with hypocrisy when hearts and words don't always align. I know that tension. You know that tension. Those moments in life where we have to preach to ourselves because we know so well our own pitfalls and weaknesses, the gaps in our own mind and soul and spirit and body. And I love what the psalmist does. Because rather than focus on those weaknesses and flaws and gaps and shortcomings and sins or even the circumstances of life that actually rage war on our ability to joyfully bless the Lord, the psalmist does something really important and helpful. He focuses on why he ought to bless the Lord. He reminds his own heart and mind and ours of who God is and why God deserves the blessing and the praise and the living and loud hallelujah of our lives. See, here's the temptation. There are moments where the enemy who lives in opposition to God will constantly come to you and to me and constantly bring deception and accusation. And in that accusation says, hey, who are you to bless the Lord? I know you. You know you. You see it all. You see what's going on in your heart. You know what you did. You know what you've done. You know the things you've thought. You know the words you've spoken. You know who you are. And so there's this accusation that at some point in time, you have this desire to give the Lord the blessing that is due his name, but the enemy has a tempting kind of way of coming alongside of you and I at times, or an accusatory way of coming alongside of us and going, hey man, anybody but you. This can come from anybody but you. You should keep your mouth shut. He doesn't want to hear this from you. He knows you. And I love what the psalmist does because it counteracts all the natural tendency to be frozen in fear and guilt and shame and condemnation and doubt and believe that God wants nothing to do with me. The psalmist says, I'm not going to buy into that lie. I'm not going to buy into that deception. I know the weaknesses, but I'm actually going to use that as a way of reminding my own heart and soul and mind that there is a means of blessing that I need to proclaim. And that is a powerful, beautiful thing that the psalmist does for us. And it's interesting, if you really want to blow your mind, go do a word study throughout the pages of Scripture on how many times God tells his people to remember. Just go read the entire text of Scripture and say, how many times does God tell his people to remember? Because one of the greatest things God does through the text of Scripture and in our hearts and minds through the work of his Spirit and his Word and in the midst of his people is he teaches us to look back and remember. To remember who he is, to remember what he's doing, to remember what he's promised, to remember what he has said, to remember everything we need to remember so that what boils out from within, what overflows from the inside out, what actually springs up from within is blessing to his name. Despite our sins and flaws and gaps and weaknesses and failures. Look at the reminders the psalmist gives us, and I'm not going particularly in order, but kind of in order. We're going to start in verse 6. Look at what he says in verse 6. The Lord is righteous. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. And you say, well, what's that reminder? And I think it's this first initial reminder the psalmist gives as he's trying to teach his own heart to bless the Lord. He says, God is righteous and just. And that simply means this: God is trustworthy. Will not the God who created the universe always do right? And the church throughout time and history can loudly say, yes, he will. Yes, he will, which means he's trustworthy. That he is not actually the author of injustice. And that those who practice evil and wickedness and injustice will in fact meet their rightful end in judgment. He will actually bring the day to bear where those who've practiced wicked and evil and injustice will answer to him, because he is, in fact, righteous and just. If you think of yourself going, okay, maybe, just maybe, some of the wrestle in my life is I want to bless the Lord, but when I look at my life and I look at the lives of those around me, it doesn't always add up. And surely you've felt that tension. I felt that tension. Sometimes you look at the world and you go, this is what the world looks like. The world looks like this. Those who are seeking to follow the way of Christ, those who are trying to walk in righteousness with integrity, sometimes it feels like nothing seems to work. It's like suffering on top of suffering, disappointment on top of disappointment, discouragement on top of discouragement, and wall after wall after wall. Sometimes it feels that way. Not always, but sometimes. Sometimes you look at the world and you go, it seems like those who practice wicked and evilness and injustice continue to flourish. And they're receiving the blessing. As a matter of fact, there's an entire psalm that paints that picture. It's Psalm 73. Where it looks like all the wicked are prospering and all the righteous are suffering. And the psalmist concludes Psalm 73 and says this: even when my heart and my flesh fail, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I have made the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may declare all your works. I may proclaim who you are. I will remember that you are near. And when life doesn't add up to me, I will remember this: will not the God of the universe always do right? Yes, he will, because he is righteous and just, and that's never changing. So the psalmist says, hey, I'm going to teach my heart to praise. And the first thing I'm going to remember is that God is righteous and just. The second thing, which is actually mentioned earlier and then completed later, is that God is merciful, full of grace, and abounding in love. Look at verses 3 through 5, and then later again in 8 through 12, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits. And then he lists them. He who forgives all your iniquity, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. In verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins. Don't just read that. Think about that. He does not deal with us according to our sins as they deserve. nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, infinity, never meeting, never touching, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. This Father who shows compassion to his children, who knows our frame and knows that we are weak. But he does not treat us in that way. And so the psalmist says, if I'm going to teach my heart and my soul and my mouth to bless the Lord, I got to remember not only is he righteous and just, but he is full of mercy and grace, and he abounds in steadfast love. He does not treat me like I deserve. He lavishes his goodness and his love on me, though I don't deserve it. And he never takes it back. And for some of you, the reminder you need so that blessing may pour out of your mouth and overflow from your heart is the reminder that God actually loves you with an unfailing love, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. And because of who you are in him. See, sometimes we have this temptation to sit back and think, I know God loves me because he has to, because it's a promise he made to himself, but he doesn't really like me. He's disappointed with me. He's annoyed by me. He's worn out on loving me. He's worn out on actually continuing to work in me. He's got to be tired of me. And all the while, the deceptive, accusing lines are flowing in that say, you're not worthy, and anybody can bless his name, but not you. And the psalmist says, no. No, enemy, you don't get the final word. Self, you don't get the final word. I'm going to teach my heart. Remember. Remember that he's righteous and just, and remember that he's full of mercy and grace, and his love is steadfast, and it abounds, and it's unfailing. It's as high as the heavens are above the earth. It knows no end. It doesn't tire. It's not going to wear out. He's not sick of you. He's not getting sick of you. He's taken your sin as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again, never to throw it back in your face. And he's saying to you, come, grow, and be free and mature in that love. That's what leads to joy. That's what leads to the blessing. That's what leads your heart and soul and mind to proclaim the excellencies of God. It's this reminder that we have to be reminded of frequently. God's faithfulness in his love and mercy and grace knows no boundary lines. It's just pressing relentlessly through all the self-deception, all the accusatory lies of the enemy, all the ways in which we do, in fact, have failures and gaps and weaknesses and flaws, and all the ways in which we sin. And he says, confess your sin. I will forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, because I will continue to set my love on you. Not because of you, because of me. I love what the psalmist is gently doing. I'm going to show you how to teach your heart to bless the Lord, even your soul to bless the Lord, even your mouth to bless the Lord. When you don't feel like it, when experiences don't draw it out, I'm going to teach it to overflow from the inside out by looking back in memory and reminding yourself yet again of just who he really is. And the last reminder in verse 19 is that God is sovereign and good. In verse 19, the psalmist says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. It's this needed reminder of who's in control. He is in control so that you don't have to try to be. He's in control so that you can be mindful of your ability to rest in him, which will produce in you an overflowing abundance of blessing him. You know, one thing, and we say this often here, but one thing you and I do every night is acknowledge that we're not in control, and that is we check out of this world for a few hours and sleep. God never sleeps, and he never slumbers, and he never tires. He's faithful and he's good and he's steadfast. He keeps every promise he's ever made. And every night you and I lay our head down at some point in time, and whether restless or peaceful, we sleep. And And either way, we acknowledge, I'm not in control of the world. And the psalmist says, you and I would do well to remember that often. He has established his throne everywhere. Everywhere he is sovereign. Everywhere he is in control. Everywhere he rules. Later we find that out, even in Colossians. Everything's held together by him. All of it. Your life, this world, time and history, every moving part he sees. And the psalmist simply says, you and I have to remind ourselves daily that he is worthy of our every blessing, soul and mouth, heart and lips. He's worthy of praising. And not just from us to him, but also from us to others. It's the living, breathing, tangible hallelujah of our lives to proclaim the greatness and goodness of God, to proclaim his excellencies. For parents, particularly moms on this Mother's Day, our children should hear these blessings and reminders often. It's one of the most powerful ways that you and I shape our children's understanding of the nature and character of our God through the integral blessing of his name and all of his perfect attributes. One of the best ways to shape their hearts to live is to live lives of blessing and hallelujah praise where our words and our hearts are aligned to declare who he is and to do it as often as we can. And to bring him to light and to bear on all of the circumstances that so frequently intersect our lives and theirs. It's the way in which we become another voice of reminder that God is righteous and just. He's merciful and full of grace and abounding in steadfast love, and he is sovereign and good. And then I love the end. At the end, the psalmist actually does something really, really unique and amazing. It's like he preaches to the angels. When's the last time you gave a shout out to the angels? It's like, who does this? Who's teaching their own heart to do something? It's like, also angels, by the way, you know. It has that feel to it. I think there's something else going on, but this is what he says. He says, bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all of his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. So in one sense, the psalmist just grabs a hold of this reality that he's teaching his own heart and mind and soul. Look at the angels. They bless his name. Look at all the heavenly host in all the heavenly realms and places blessing his name. Look at all the works of his hand in creation, all of creation, every good thing he has made. Look at all of it blessing his name. And then looks at his own soul and says, hey, soul, join the song. It's time to sing. It's time to proclaim. It's time to shout. It's time to speak the blessing of the Lord. It's the invitation to his own heart and soul and mind that he has a reason to bless the Lord by remembering God's righteousness and justice, by remembering his mercy and his grace and his abounding steadfast love, and by remembering that he is sovereign and good, and by joining the chorus of the angels and the heavenly host and all the works of God's good hand, and saying to his own soul, soul, bless the Lord. I want to take just a moment and give a particular note of encouragement to moms in this room. Some of you won't mind, some of you will hate me for this, but if you are a mom in this room, would you be willing to just stand for just a few moments? You just stand up where you're at if you're a mom here today. Can I just read a few words of encouragement over you, rooted and anchored in Psalm 103, that we collectively will pray over you this morning. We'll start where we started earlier. Number one, you are not validated or invalidated as a beloved daughter of God by your perceived mothering successes or failures. You are His in Christ and in Christ alone. And nothing will change that. Number two, you are seen even when the bulk of your days feel like they're being spent with very little adult interaction and oftentimes with thankless little ones that don't quite yet know the sacrifices you're making for them. And for those of you who are past those seasons, He has seen every one of them. Three, you are not alone in the darkest of days or the hardest of nights, but where you do feel alone, please look around and let us know, because the people in this room desire in every way, shape, and form that we can to carry burdens with you and to remind you that support is near and to lift you up in faith and by faith that there is a reason to bless His name, that He sees you, that He loves you, that His love for you is unchanging. It does not waver up or down based on your success or failure. It is constant and persistent and relentless and perfect in every way. You may grow up or down in your understanding or enjoyment of it, but His love for you will not change. It is constant, eternal, and perfect. You are also primarily and firstly a daughter of the living, loving, righteous, merciful, and sovereignly good Father who delights in forgiving your transgressions and sins, who delights in calling you His daughter because of who you are by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, whose Spirit is at work within you and will not stop until you are complete in His presence. He will finish what He started in you, and your ability to bless Him is bound up in who He is, not in what you think of yourself or what anyone else ever says or thinks about you. And lastly, know this, in whatever season you find yourself in this role of motherhood, your mothering is a living hallelujah. So mother well by singing His praises loudly in your own heart and with your children every chance you get. Speak truth often and teach your children the word of God with confidence so that your voice in their lives is not a, knowing that your voice in their lives is not a lost cause or a weak instrument. Swim often in God's deep and abounding grace for yourself so that you may also extend it to them. Receive mercy and show mercy. Be slow to anger and frustration, but even when those moments come, take a deep breath, confess any sins that need to be confessed. Receive His mercy and His forgiveness. Let your children hear your confessions and your apologies. Express your gratitude for God's grace, and then get up and love boldly again. And all the while, know this, God is singing over you as a beloved daughter while you bless His name with your unique calling as a mom, whether by birth, foster, adoption, or spiritual mentoring and mothering. Your mothering is a needed, important, irreplaceable hallelujah. It's an act of praise. Embrace it and bless His holy name with every opportunity you get. And I promise you this, you have no idea when and where God will bear the fruit of this song your life is singing. I'm going to ask Chris and the others to come back up, and we will continue worship. But let me pray a prayer over you this morning. Father God, we love You, and we thank You for loving us. And all of us in this room have a reason to sing Your blessing. You are righteous, and You are just. You are merciful and gracious and abounding in steadfast love. And You are sovereign and You are good. Would You help all of us, including these moms who are standing, to join with the chorus of the angels and the heavenly host in the heavenly places and all the mighty works of Your hand in creation? Would You teach our own souls to join the song and bless Your holy name? Because You are worthy. Help us remember that and enjoy that, and let the overflow be an abundance of joy that works itself out in soul and heart and mind and in words with a living hallelujah. And we will praise Your name together because of Christ and his sufficiency and your faithfulness. We ask all these things in his name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.